Hello everyone, welcome or welcome back to Real Recovery. If you're new here, this is a podcast where I talk about anorexia recovery and I give you guys practical tips and advice to help you if you're struggling. My usual disclaimer, I'm not a medical professional, so yeah, don't treat any of this podcast episode as medical advice. It's all just my own opinions and experience and some research. So anyway, I hope this helps you and I hope you enjoy the episode. So this episode is all about how you can cope with being triggered or feeling like angry or invalidated or just, yeah, like triggered by other people who you might see in public or you might know personally who also struggle with anorexia. Maybe they are very visibly unwell, like they're underweight. And for many people who are in recovery or who are currently struggling with their eating disorder, this can be very triggering. It can be a very difficult experience and it can cause you to feel, yeah, like anger, jealousy, envy, all of these kind of emotions that you probably don't really want to be feeling, you don't really want to identify with. It's quite uncomfortable to even admit to this. However, it's very, very common to feel this way and to be triggered in this way by other people who are struggling. It's something that is kind of unspoken about, but nearly everyone with anorexia will experience this at some point. So I want you to know that you're not alone if you do struggle with this. It's not a reflection on you as a person, how you feel about this. It doesn't make you unsympathetic to other people. It doesn't make you like crazy to feel this way. Although to people who've never struggled with eating disorders, it probably does sound very odd to almost feel jealous of people who are very underweight that you might see or that you might know. I will explain why we feel this way, how it happens, like the causes behind this, and I'll also explain my experience with this and how I kind of overcame this as a trigger and now the place I'm at now where I just feel completely differently. It's a much better place to be, in my opinion. It means that, yeah, I don't have to deal with those feelings of being triggered. Yeah, and I think I want to help you guys get to this place as well. And yeah, I hope the episode helps you. I have got a few questions about this. I'll read a couple out specifically because I think they kind of, they nicely kind of summarize this experience. So somebody asked, how do I stop being triggered by other anorexic people? Somebody else asked, how do I recover from my eating disorder when my friend has an eating disorder and they're thinner than me? Another person said, when you see someone who is very visibly unwell out and about, how do you stop the immediate competitive feelings of anger, invalidity, and the desire to be thinner? So I think that kind of does package this issue up nicely. And I think that many of you listening will probably relate to those kind of questions from other people. So yeah, I think it's a common experience and it's something which is very difficult to deal with. Yeah, like I said, it's very triggering. And it can make people relapse with their eating disorder. It can make people feel really, really guilty for continuing to recover, for gaining weight. It can make people feel like they're not sick enough to start recovery because they'll see someone else who is thinner than them or who they perceive to be more unwell. And this kind of drives the whole competitive element of anorexia. I made a whole episode about how, you know, comparison and competition play a role in fueling eating disorders. So I recommend you listen to that if you are unsure about this. Now, I personally overcame this kind of thinking and this kind of trigger in a series of different stages. I think it is different to deal with this kind of experience of being triggered by someone else who is unwell and underweight when it's someone you know personally. Like if it's a friend of yours, I think it is different to how you would approach this if you're talking about being triggered by people out and about in public, like you just see a random stranger in the street who is very unwell, visibly, you know, ill with anorexia. Obviously you never know for sure, however I think a lot of people's brains do go there, and it's something that can be quite unambiguous at times. Obviously most eating disorders aren't visible, most people do not become underweight, and most people with anorexia who do become underweight will not reach extreme low BMIs, although I know this is kind of like the stereotype, it's just not reality. Either way, the point still stands that when you are out and about, you will probably encounter people in your life who are very visibly underweight and unwell with anorexia. And I understand that this can be triggering. I think it's more triggering at the beginning of recovery, or maybe when you haven't even started recovery yet, just because you are coming from that place of identifying so, so strongly with being anorexic or having an eating disorder. So yes, you will be feeling invalid if you see someone else who you perceive to be, and I'm doing this in quotes, doing it better than you. Because if you see someone else who is very underweight but you don't identify as someone with anorexia, you're not going to feel competitive, you're not going to feel that desire to be thinner, because it's just not something that you align with, it's not something that has any value in your life, it's not something that you kind of judge yourself with. Whereas before you've done that kind of healing work in recovery, it's just not the case. So I think my overarching point here is, I know it's difficult, but getting through those moments of being triggered, seeing people out and about, being triggered by them, you know, engaging with your friends who maybe are unwell themselves, dealing with these situations, every single time you get through them and every single time that you don't relapse when you get triggered by them, every single time that you feel those difficult emotions of guilt and anger and frustration and all these horrible feelings, I know how horrible they can be. On a scale of 1 to 10, they can be 10s, right? But the point is, they always go, they always pass. And every single time you go through that experience, the next time around, it will become easier, you'll get through it faster, you will have more trust, and you'll have more, honestly, respect and kind of self-worth at the end of this experience, because you will just feel so much stronger. You'll feel like you can overcome these triggers, that these emotions don't rule your life anymore. And at the end of the day, they go away. They stop being triggering emotions, experiences, and you start viewing these things that once had a massive hold over you, that once caused you to kind of spiral and maybe even step backwards in your recovery. Those things, they just lose their power, right? If I saw someone now with anorexia, I do not feel triggered in any way, shape, or form. Same thing with if I had a friend who had anorexia, which I had in the past previously. Now, I think the situation was the same as it was a couple of years ago, I don't think I would be triggered by it. So I think, yeah, it just proves the point that honestly, give yourself time and allow yourself to go through these difficult things and get stronger because of them. I will touch on the experience of being triggered by strangers or people out in public. And then after that, I will talk about how you can cope with, you know, having friends who are also anorexic. I think they're kind of different, so I'll address them separately. But first things first, let's talk about how you can cope with the experience of, you know, being out and about in public. Maybe you're just walking down the street and you see someone and they're very underweight, and immediately your eating disorder pipes up and it's like envious, it's jealous, it's angry at that person. It is completely ruling your brain at that moment. It's very loud. You might be feeling guilty, you might be feeling ashamed, you might be feeling like you need to immediately stop recovery and go back to your old ways and restrict and lose weight. And I understand, because I've been there and I used to feel that way, and I used to remember it being incredibly strong at the beginning of recovery. And yeah, it was just not very nice. But what I did, and I think this was really, really helpful, is three main things. And I think, firstly, I learned how to turn the anger I felt at this random stranger into empathy. These people that you see in public are not to be envied for being unwell. You know better, I think, than anyone else, right? If you're struggling with anorexia, you know better than anyone else how much suffering is involved in having that low weight or that sick body or whatever. You are in a position to be way, way, way more empathetic than most regular people, because you know, you've been there, you've done that, you've experienced the same sort of thing. So I think once I realized that, I could kind of tap into a lot of sympathy, a lot of empathy and pity towards people, strangers, anyone really suffering. And honestly, I think that's a big reason as to why I've been able to run my account and do this podcast and engage with so many people every single day who have eating disorders. I don't feel triggered anymore by, you know, other people's suffering, because I honestly just come back to a place of so, so much compassion for them, because I know what it was like, right? And it sucks. I think that's kind of like the biggest point here, is like, don't delude yourself. Don't allow jealousy to take hold, because jealousy is when you want something that someone else has and you feel angry and upset that you don't have it. Whereas in actual fact, you don't want what they have. You know what they have. They have an eating disorder. They have a horrible life. They have poor health, they have poor mental health, which is the biggest thing here, right? Just like when your eating disorder will try and convince you to go backwards and relapse, you need to have those reminders in place of like, no, I don't, because, you know, being unwell was horrible because of X, Y, and Z. You also need to have those reminders that come to the forefront of your brain when you see other people unwell. Same thing, right? Remind yourself that they aren't living this life that you want, because they're not, most likely, right? Your anorexia will be like, you also need to be that thin and stuff like that. Whereas in actual fact, you need to recover. That's your journey. Their journey is probably completely different. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know what's up with them. I think another point to add, although I'm not really going to stress this too much, is the fact that obviously we don't know what random strangers are suffering with. They might not have an eating disorder. They might have another condition, whatever. The point here is that if your eating disorder is using someone else as fuel for triggering you, you can kind of go with those terms, right? You don't have to, like, if you're triggered by it, you're triggered by it. And I think, let's be realistic. Anyway, back on track. What I was saying was about, yeah, how you can turn that jealousy and that anger into empathy and compassion. And I promise this is easier said than done. It took practice, right? It took a few, you know, it took a while for me to manage to do this. However, it's something that once it's been done, I don't think it's ever going to go back. Now, if I ever see a stranger with anorexia, if I ever hear from one of you guys and how you're struggling, I quite honestly find it impossible to be triggered in that sense that I used to, because I don't know. I feel like this kind of way that I manage to view things now with, yeah, empathy, compassion and sympathy, rather than kind of putting myself on that playing field and almost being competitive, I think that really helped. And I think point two of a tip to help you with this is about this competition, right? You have to stop being in this competition. And I know this is all really much easier said than done. However, if you stop identifying with being anorexic, and go and listen to my episodes about this, I did a whole series on it. If you stop identifying with being anorexic, you are allowing yourself to drop out of this, you know, imaginary competition that you have with strangers, with friends, this kind of weight loss, like, I have to be the sickest, I have to be the thinnest. It's all coming from a place of fear, and it's coming from your disorder. It's not coming from you and your true values. So I know it's very difficult to form a new identity, but the first step to even doing that is to drop that anorexic identity. And you can do this mechanically. You can just tell yourself, you can force yourself to stop identifying that way. And over time, it becomes automatic, and you stop aligning yourself with being sick. You start aligning yourself with wanting to be healthy. It may feel very forced at first. You may be like, well, I don't want to be healthy, I do want to be sick. But I think do a bit of soul searching, write down why you want to recover, write down the misery that your life right now probably is with an eating disorder. And I know it's scary, I know it's difficult to let go, but I think letting go, at least on paper, you might not even feel it with your chest at the moment, but just have that there, like, remind yourself that you are allowed to heal, you are allowed to let go, and you're allowed to stop identifying and stop competing, and you're allowed to just, yeah, stop. And I think that when you do that, you stop being so triggered by other people with eating disorders, because you're not putting yourself in that same pool with them. You've stepped out, you've kind of like been there, done that sort of thing. So it stops having that emotional hold over you. I think a barrier for a lot of people to do this is the fear that it kind of means that they faked their eating disorder, or that they won't have that kind of support that comes along with being unwell. And I think what helped me overcome this and get through this was really understanding and realizing that recovering and aligning myself with being healthy and aiming for weight gain and being healthy again does not erase my history of an eating disorder. It literally doesn't erase how severe my eating disorder was. It doesn't mean that part of my life was, yeah, it doesn't make that whole thing go. It doesn't mean that I don't still need support. Letting go of being underweight and gaining weight and honestly, you know, completely recovering physically maybe and looking very different, none of that means that your past, like, experience was fake. It doesn't mean that you're He doesn't say anything about how bad your eating disorder was or even still might be, right? You have to validate yourself and you have to acknowledge the horrible stuff that you went through and how bad your disorder was, because although that sounds very pessimistic, it's really not. It's basically just validating yourself and reassuring yourself that you still can recover, you can still be in recovery, even if you have made progress, even if you have decided to drop the anorexic identity. That doesn't erase your history of anorexia, and I think it's just really important. And it was very comforting to me in a weird way, because it was like, well, it's almost like you can have your cake and eat it. You can get the support and you can have the validation from being unwell and from needing to choose recovery, because honestly, you need to, for me at least, I needed to feel like it was necessary in order for me to recover, for me to actually take those actions. I need to be absolutely convinced that I was in fact needing and deserving of recovery for me to take the actions. So yes, you can still be that, and at the same time you can also ditch the anorexic identity, which I really recommend doing, because it will help with situations like seeing someone else in public and being triggered. It will just help a lot. My third point with this is kind of, I've already touched on it, but it's basically you have to just give it time, and you have to know that the intense emotions that do come with this initial trigger will be hard, but they will always pass. And you have to remind yourself of this every single time. So I recommend journaling. I journaled through a lot of my biggest triggers, and honestly, it's kind of weird that I can remember them very specifically. I'm not going to share them, but I do remember like some very specific instances when I was so, so triggered by, you know, something. And I remember journaling about it. I remember there was a couple of times early on where it genuinely felt horrible for about a week, but after a week it went away. And later on, it would be less than a day that I would be feeling in that horrible, horrible emotional triggered state. So I just want to kind of reassure you and recommend that you do try journaling. And as I said, you've got to keep that tunnel vision. You've got to keep your eyes on your own recovery and focus on what you actually want, which is recovery, right? You don't want to be ill. You might want certain parts that your eating disorder gave you. You might feel that you want to be underweight. You might feel like you want all these things, but dig a bit deeper, figure out what those things potentially give you, and then find other ways to access those things, right? Now I'm going to talk about how to deal with recovery and, you know, feeling triggered when you're in recovery maybe, but your friends aren't, or you just have friends with eating disorders. It can just be a very tricky experience to navigate. And sometimes it can be more complicated than when you are, you know, just dealing with random people or strangers. It can be quite tricky because it's also not something people talk about. You might be in, you know, a group of friends, and several of these people might have, you know, restrictive eating disorders or just restrictive behaviors, but they might not be diagnosed. They might not be open about it. Similarly, you might be that person. You might be someone who is really struggling with their eating, but maybe you're not diagnosed. Maybe you're not, talking about it. So I think that's just something to notice. I think the situation can be so difficult because when you're friends, obviously it increases that level of comparison within eating disorders. It also normalizes disordered eating and potentially low body weights when you're all your friends, or even one of your friends, is also doing the same kind of thing. It can give your eating disorder fuel, and it can make you feel like you can't or you shouldn't recover if your friend also isn't recovering, because it's kind of like peer pressure, kind of not, but it's like you are, you know, you're more likely to want to stick to the group and you want to do things that your friends are doing and fit in or whatever. Some friendships can be so, so close that you end up doing just the same thing all the time. So yeah, that can be really tricky. It can also make you doubt your own illness if you don't have all the same behaviors as a friend has. It can make you feel very invalid, and it can also keep you very attached to this eating disorder identity, because often what's recommended when people are recovering is that they, you know, spend more time with their friends and they engage in social activities. But if those social activities and those friends are kind of drilling home disordered, you know, thought patterns and stuff, then obviously that's completely different. And more to the point is it can ruin friendships. I can personally talk about this from experience. I've had a couple of really, really close friendships completely destroyed by anorexia on my part, and in one case anorexia on another person's part. And I think it's more complex than just there being an element of comparison or being triggered. It's the fact that when you are ill, you find it very difficult to socialize, and often the the healthy friends or the friends who aren't struggling, those are the ones who kind of pick up the slack, and they're the ones who kind of, you know, push to keep in contact and push to, you know, engage, right? But if both of you are struggling, it's kind of, yeah, things can fall apart in a way. So I just want to let you know that if you are going through really difficult friendship issues, or you have lost friends due to your eating disorder, you're not alone. It does suck, but it's something that isn't really your fault. It's something that just, yeah, it happens. And to an extent, everything happens for a reason, and you will obviously find new friends in the future, and it's okay for you to prioritize recovery over social stuff at the moment. But anyway, let's get into some tips on how you can cope with this issue of friends also having eating disorders. My first one is about boundaries. Basically, I know it's kind of difficult sometimes, but have an honest conversation with them. Let them know that you're not angry with them, but like currently you're in recovery, and if they're doing things or saying things which aren't helpful, it's okay for you to bring that up. I think have a list of things maybe that you'd rather not talk about. You could also ask them to not talk about specific numbers or behaviors with you, because I think what can work sometimes is having that element of support and like community and understanding, right? If someone knows what you're going through because they're going through the same thing, maybe it's actually a good thing to talk about certain aspects of your eating disorder. However, maybe you could have like hard boundaries about like no numbers, no rules, don't like mention anything specific to me, just because when people do exchange specifics and, you know, the person isn't in a very stable place with recovery, obviously that's not going to be helpful. I think it gets different further on down the line, and obviously every situation is different. I think when you do get to a place when triggers no longer affect you, it's okay for you to obviously hear about other people's specific behaviors and numbers, which is again something I'm quite proud of. I'm quite proud of the place that I've managed to get to, because yeah, things like specific numbers, people could mention anything really to me at this point and it wouldn't bother me, which I think is just, yeah, a sign of progress, honestly. You could also make an effort to engage in non-eating disordered related activities, or have like a hard rule that you don't have conversations about your eating disorder even. And I think chances are your friends will understand and respect you and respect your boundaries. My second tip, and this kind of relates to what I was saying about how you can cope with being triggered by strangers and people out in public, but it's basically, yeah, it's just having compassion. A big realization for me was when I figured out how to change jealousy into compassion, as I've said, even more now, because this is your friend we're talking about. They're going through the same hell that you're going through, and they're not trying to compete with you. Or if they are, right, it's not them, it's their eating disorder, similar to you. It's not you who's feeling this kind of way, it's your eating disorder. You are not trying to beat someone who is your friend at being unwell, it's your illnesses. You have no reason to be jealous or competing with your friend who is ill, but you can feel pity and compassion for them. My fourth tip is to challenge this comparison. You got to challenge it with logic and rationality, and remember that even if your closest friend is also struggling and it's triggering you, it's still not a fair comparison. Comparing your weight or your behaviors or your treatment, your intake, whatever, it's completely pointless, because at the end of the day, it completely ignores the fact that you both have different bodies, different life experiences, different mental health, different family, different treatment availability, professionals, different habits, whatever, right? You're both ill regardless of your behaviors, so it's kind of pointless comparing. Again, I think I did make a whole episode on comparison and about how pointless it really is when you kind of dig into it, but whether your weight is higher or lower than your friends, both of you still deserve recovery and need recovery, honestly. And just because maybe you hear or you see your friend do a certain behavior, you can't compare that to your entire experience with your eating disorder. You don't know what happens when they go home. You don't know what other kind of behaviors they struggle with, what their intake is when you don't see them. You don't know what kind of metabolism they have, what kind of body they have, what kind of treatment they're getting. Yes, they're your friends, so you probably know more about this person than you would a random stranger. But at the end of the day, unless you are literally living the exact same identical existence as somebody else, it's unfair to compare your eating disorders, and therefore it's very unfair to compare and draw conclusions from that. So yeah, You don't need to compare yourself to your friends. And if you find yourself doing it, I really recommend you sit and think about it for a second, because it makes no sense to do. And it will feel a lot better once you can kind of come to terms with the fact that you are both unwell and deserving of recovery. Another reason why you can break away from this kind of comparison is what I've already talked about in this episode. It's about how you can seek recovery. You're on a different path to them now. You're not aligning with your eating disorder, and you're aligning with recovery instead. And whether or not they are too, if they're not, that's even more reason for you to completely cut that comparison in its tracks. My fifth tip is to do things with your other friends who don't have eating disorders. Tell one maybe that you trust about your eating disorder and get them to help you challenge stuff. Take this as an opportunity as well, maybe to broaden your social circle, because if you don't have any friends who are kind of, you know, non-disordered, this might be a chance for you to really make an effort to branch out a bit. Or even if it's not friends, maybe, you know, do more things with your family, whatever. Do what you can, but try and break outside that little bubble, because I think that'll really help you and help normalize healthy behaviors and all that good stuff. My sixth tip is to really engage that tunnel vision. I think write down your reasons to recover, write down your rational thoughts, have these reminders to hand, because honestly, you will probably forget and you probably need to remind yourself several times a day, especially in early recovery. Every single time that I got a competitive or comparing or doubting thought, I would bring myself back to what I wanted and back to my focus. And I know this does take practice, but each time you don't act on a thought fueled by this friend or this stranger or whoever you're being triggered by, it does get easier to remain focused on yourself and unbothered by their actions, right? Tip number seven is kind of the end point. It's what happens when the relationship really kind of does start to break down, and when it's probably best for both you and your friend to distance yourself from each other, at least until you are no longer struggling. It is sad, but it may end up that you do need to distance yourself from your friend. As I've said, I've personally lost friends in this way, but it was 100% for the best and I do not regret it. In a way, it's kind of a relief at the time, because you can't force your friend into recovery. Now, I was the friend who wasn't recovering in this instance. And I think, you know, with a bit of self-awareness and, yeah, understanding the situation from my friend's point of view, I can completely understand. And honestly, I think they did the best thing possible. They distanced themselves from me because I was, you know, I was not being a good friend. I can imagine, at least I probably wasn't, because I was so, you know, absorbed with my eating disorder. I was also probably triggering to them in certain ways. And I think, obviously, that was never my intention. But the point here is that if you do need to distance yourself from someone, you're completely allowed to do that. And it doesn't mean that you are being mean to this person. It doesn't mean that you're abandoning them. It just means that you're doing what you need to do to protect yourself, which everyone should do. You can't make your friends take advice. You can't make anyone recover. Even if you yourself are choosing to recover and your friend isn't, you can't do anything about that, unfortunately. You can obviously support and encourage and do what you can, but at the end of the day, if that's kind of draining you, if that's triggering you, it's not worth it, because you have to take care of yourself. They have to take care of themselves, and that is just the harsh reality of things. It doesn't mean that they are more unwell than you if they don't choose recovery, because like I said, everyone's on a different journey. Everyone's doing things at different stages, at different times in their life, and realistically, everyone has to recover at some point, or they die, or they live a very miserable life and then they die of their eating disorder. I know it sounds really horrible, but it's the facts of the matter. And if your friend isn't recovering now, chances are they will later, and then they'll be at this exact same stage as you are. And the point here is it's very kind of pointless to kind of, yeah, judge people where they are on different journeys, because it's just, yeah, I'm tying myself up in knots here, but you get what I mean. You can always resume your friendships after recovery. I know that this is kind of like worst case scenario. Like, obviously you don't want to have to be cutting off friends and kind of distancing yourself from people that you obviously, you know, you're friends with, right? But at the end of the day, sometimes it is necessary. And if you think that the negatives outweigh the positives of a certain friendship, and it's holding you back and not letting you recover and it's just making you feel bad, then I really recommend that you take a break and yeah, communicate, obviously, be honest about it, but still do what's best for you. To anyone listening who hasn't related to any of this and thinks it's all very strange that people go around comparing themselves and, you know, being jealous of other people who are very unwell, I can understand why you might think it's strange. And if you're someone who's maybe listening to this podcast to support a loved one with anorexia or to just for educational purposes, then I want to kind of explain why this happens. I think that people with eating disorders, you know, we're all very familiar with this kind of experience. But basically, from my knowledge and my research and my opinion, this happens just because when you do have anorexia, your fear of weight gain is so, so strong. It is the strongest thing in your life, potentially. It is driving the majority of your thoughts, of your behaviors, of your actions. It kind of rules your day. And that does seep into interactions with other people. Your fear of weight gain kind of morphs your values. It morphs your belief systems. And it means that everything you do, essentially, is motivated by the fear of weight gain and the desire to avoid weight gain, right? So if you do go around and you see people who are thinner than you, that attacks that part of the anorexia which wants you to become thinner, 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 because it means that you're not doing it well enough in the eyes of your disorder. And because that fear of weight gain and that drive to eat less, move more, lose weight, because that drive is so strong and it comes from a biological level, because it's so strong, it does mean that the corresponding emotions of guilt and anger and shame and jealousy and all those things that come along with being triggered, those are often going to be very strong as well. So it may seem very, very irrational, very kind of out of place to feel this way, but I want to, you know, tell everyone that it's not their true value system, it's their eating disorder which is in the driver's seat, and it's causing them to be triggered by things which potentially them before their eating disorder, they wouldn't have, you know, they wouldn't have felt the same way. But it makes sense when you consider how much the fear of weight gain is ruling their life and how much they use their eating disorder and they use weight loss and they use this identity of being anorexic, etc. They use all that as a coping mechanism for often very severe and debilitating mental health issues or trauma. And I think you just got to take all of this into account and have a lot of empathy and understanding for the person being triggered in this way. Yeah. And I hope that if you've listened and you've kind of been feeling ashamed of feeling this way, because I certainly did, I thought, why am I being so like angry at people and jealous of people when I really don't want to be? I felt ashamed of it. I kind of had to realize that so much of my anorexia thoughts and feelings, they were driven from something biological, whatever. It's a disorder, right? And try not to read too much into it. Just like try not to read too much into body image issues or guilt. Those things aren't necessarily rooted in reality, but that doesn't make them any less painful. And that doesn't mean that you need any less support. Anyway, I hope this has helped. I hope this helped a few of you guys who did actually ask questions about this. And obviously, if you do have questions, please reach out, email me, message me on Instagram. If you found this episode helpful, share it, rate it, review it, and do anything really, because all of it just helps the algorithms and stuff. So yeah, if you have already, thank you so much. It really does help. And thank you for listening.